Well, good morning and welcome to our 11 o'clock service here at Stony Creek Church. I invite you to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along with this morning's message. How many have seen the latest box office blockbuster movie, Spider-Man the Homecoming? How many? Some of you have. Cool. Debbie and I saw it last Monday. And she really liked it. I sort of liked it. In this movie, Peter Parker is a newbie, 15-year-old Spider-Man. Spider-Man on training wheels, you might say. The suit is on loan from Stark, and Peter's just getting used to it. Peter's prime goal throughout the movie is to prove himself worthy of joining the big league team of superheroes, the world-class Avengers. He dreams of fighting crime shoulder to shoulder with the likes of Iron Man and Thor and Hulk and Black Widow and the others, under the leadership, of course, of Captain America. And the big question is, throughout the movie, is will the young Spidey make the cut and get on to the Avengers? Now, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but maybe you're thinking with this opening, you know, Randy, I've seen the topic of today's message, can we do without church membership? Don't tell me you're comparing becoming a member of the Avengers with becoming a member of Stony Creek Church. I mean, how desperate can you get? Is that what this is about? Is that where you're going, Randy? Yeah, that's where I'm going. And I admit, I get it, that it may to some look pretty desperate. Joining the Avengers is the ultimate in cool, but according to many, many people, joining a church is the exact opposite of cool. And this is especially the case with the group known as the millennials today. And that is people born between 1980 and 2000, give or take, depending on who you ask. Only 2 in 10 millennials believe church attendance is important. Only 2 in 10. And we're just talking there about church attendance. Never mind church membership. And that's compared to 49% of adults above millennial age who believe that it's somewhat or very important. Worse yet, 1/3 of millennials describe themselves not just as unchurched, but anti-church. But even among Christians who say the church is important, you'll often find that many attend sporadically only and are not committed to a particular church. Church membership, they'll say, yeah, you know, that's just not necessary. It's restrictive. I believe in Jesus, but I'll even go to church and attend regularly, but church membership, nah, that's a little bit too much. And there's nothing in Scripture, they'll say, that says you have to belong to a local church, that you have to be a member. Many Christians look at church attendance sort of like you'd look at a salad bar, you know? You take some of this from that particular church. Maybe you'll really like their worship service on Sunday, and a little of that from this other church over here. Maybe you really like their kids program or their youth program. You get your needs met by picking the best of what several have to offer. And so I get it. I fully realize that I've got an uphill challenge today. I am the underdog. The approval rating of church membership these days is probably down there somewhere with Congress and the news media, you know? So I realize that I'm the underdog, but I'm going to try anyway, all right? I like the challenge. Today, I want to try to impart to you the vision for the local church that Jesus and his earliest followers had. We see this vision in the New Testament. To the young Peter Parker, the Avengers, the coolest team on earth. He wanted more than anything to join it. He wanted to show them that he has what it takes to join the team. Well, the early followers of Jesus thought of the local church as the best team on earth. To them, it was the local branch of the worldwide bride of Christ, the body of Christ. To be a Christ follower back then, the worst thing that you could imagine was being cut off from your local church in some official way. Why? How so? Well, I want to look today at five reasons for church membership. This is what's listed on your outline there. Five reasons for church membership. And see, you be the judge for yourself if it's convincing to you. The first reason for church membership, number one on your outline, is commitment. Commitment. Anyone seen the movie Runaway Bride? It's kind of an older movie now, a Julia Roberts classic about a woman whose claim to fame is that she left three men waiting at the altar for her on their respective wedding days. Actually, I've never seen the whole movie. Chick flick, and you know, I read about it on Wikipedia, okay? But it's the classic on fear of commitment. And fear of commitment is usually thought of as kind of a guy thing these days. And we typically think of it in terms of relationship, like fear of getting married. But fear of commitment is big. I mean, it is really big when it comes to joining a church these days. Many have had bad experiences, or they know someone who had a bad experience. Many say they just don't have time for that level of commitment. Many think committing to one church is going to tie them down too much or make them accountable to a human authority rather than just to God. But it might surprise you to learn that the first Christ followers, they faced some fears of commitment too. They really did. And I want to show you an example of this. It's found in Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. And please, help me out when we come to the yellow print. It says, remember, this is the early days of the church, not too long after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. It says, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. That was a place in the temple, big area where all these thousands of new Christians could gather and have their meetings. And then notice verse 13. It says, no one else dared join them. No one else dared. Scary. Fear is going on there. Even though they were highly regarded by the people, help me. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Now, please keep that up there for a moment or two. Look carefully at this text. We're going to talk about it here for a minute. The apostles and the early followers of Jesus clearly stood out in Jerusalem among the population there, because the apostles, they were performing miracles. There were lots of spectators and seekers who were interested in what's going on, maybe even in joining the assembly and just watching what was happening. But most people feared joining the church, becoming a member, of identifying with this group. To watch was fascinating, but to join was scary. Back then, joining the Christ followers meant you publicly declared that you had repented of your sin and had entrusted yourself to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And you did this in a public ritual called baptism. We're going to be learning about that next week. And when you were baptized, you not only committed your life to Christ, but to the local church in that place or in that town where you lived. As you can see in verse 14, even though it was a scary step, because it meant commitment and accountability and possible danger from the authorities. More and more people still, nevertheless, considered it worth the risk and joined the church anyway. Becoming a Christ follower was not only a commitment to Jesus, but it was a commitment to his bride. Let me repeat that. It wasn't just a commitment to Jesus. It says they believed in the Lord and were added to their number. It was a commitment to his body, to his church. How that commitment is expressed may differ from culture to culture, from time to time. Different churches handle it different ways, but it was a real commitment back then. It was understood in that culture. Look at a key verse. This is earlier in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. A very simple little expression. It says, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. And you'll notice I have some words underlined up there. We're going to talk about those for a minute, so keep the text up there. Note first that this expression, devoted themselves to, actually that's just one word in Greek. It's proskartereo, to be loyal to attach oneself to associate closely with, to hold to cling to persevere in. So this is what they were doing there. In a word, that's commitment, folks. The commitment the first followers had. Now note secondly, it's not just devoting themselves to fellowshipping, all right? In other words, to the concept of fellowship in the church. No, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. That's why I have the underlined there. The definite article appears in the Greek text. Sometimes English translations leave that the out of there, but they shouldn't. It's there in the Greek text, and it's important because it indicates this wasn't just a commitment to the universal church of all believers, but to this specific group. They said, I'm all in. They overcame their fear of commitment because they saw God working in this community of believers. They saw him in the worship. They saw him in the teaching of Scripture. They saw him in answers to prayer and in the mutual love that members had one for another. This is commitment. Commitment, and it characterized the local church, the early local church. Let's look at a second reason for church membership. Number two on your outline is connection. Connection. If you're a millennial or younger, you may call it hanging out. All right? That's what we hear all the time today, hanging out. I'm going to go hang with so-and-so. All right? Sounds scary to somebody, you know, older like me, you know? Sounds dangerous. But it's the expression. And when you find a good person to hang with, all right, or a group to hang with, it's the place where you feel comfortable. It's the place where you belong. It's a place where you connect with your friends. Now, God designed the local church to be a connection place like that for Christ followers. Look again at that passage, Acts 2:42. It says they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Let's concentrate on that word fellowship. In Greek, that's the word koinonia. Koinonia. It means participation. It means a relationship that's characterized by sharing in common. Back in those days, this word, koinonia, was often used of the marriage relationship. So we're talking here about a tight bond, folks. Many Christians today think of themselves as devoted to Jesus, and rightly so, but not so much devoted to the local church. But in New Testament days, to say I do to Jesus was to say I do to his bride as well. Now, Jesus likes his bride. He brings her along everywhere he goes. And he doesn't like it when people are downing his bride. You say, well, I'm devoted to the universal church. the church of all believers. Whether living or dead, all the believers since the church was founded. Not just any particular church. Well, that's sort of like saying that you're devoted to marriage, not just any particular marriage. Not just any particular spouse. This kind of connection to a church is the vision of the New Testament for the community of people devoted to one another. I see this happening here at Stony Creek Church. People genuinely caring for one another and helping one another. Last week, one member fixed another member's brakes to help that person out. The week before, one member helped another member get her transmission fixed when she couldn't afford it. The DeKaisers, the Slongos, they just had newborn babies. Meals are on the way. When someone's in the hospital or a loved one dies, a small group shows up with hands to help, shoulders to cry on. When a family moves, moving from their house, maybe to another house, a gang of helpful hands shows up with ready to load up the truck and to help. When somebody's celebrating a graduation, or a new baby, or an engagement, or a wedding, the church is there to celebrate. Now, this stuff doesn't just happen on a dime. It has to be cultivated. That's why we have what we call connection events, where we try to get people connected. We have our Wednesday night connection activities for all ages. We have our small groups that meet throughout the week for Bible study and for prayer and for fellowship together. If you're interested in that, check out our webpage where you can get connected to a small group. And so, of course, you know, we invite people out to these things, but the person has to take the initiative to do that. We have our newbie lunch. You heard it advertised on the announcements. And if you're new to the church, or maybe you're just saying, hey, I'm not all that connected. You've been coming for a long time, but you want to get connected, come on out to our newbie lunch next Sunday after the 11 o'clock service. We do these things and so many other things to foster connection. This is what the New Testament envisions. Are we perfect at it? Could you find flaws? Of course. No church is perfect, just as no marriage is perfect. No family is perfect, but that doesn't mean you give up on it. No, you work to make it the best that it can be, and you forgive the shortcomings of others because you're devoted to them, devoted to them. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So in Christ, though many, So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Belongs to all the others. Each member belongs. Church membership is involvement. It's ownership. We're connected. We belong to each other. This is the devotion and commitment that the New Testament envisions. It's in a real, live, local setting. Paul is writing here to a local church. And a church hopper isn't going to get this. It's just not going to happen. This is someone in that text who's committed to a local church. Not just getting fed, but getting involved. Connection. Let's look at a third reason for church membership. There on your outline is number three, accountability. Uh-oh. Scary word alert. Accountability. Room goes quiet. This is where it gets serious. It means something is expected of you. It means that you expect things of others. Accountability, very scarce in the American church these days. If you're not a church member, you're not officially accountable to a leader or to a church for your spirituality. in the early days of the church, accountability was massively important in the local church. Members saw it as their duty to watch out for one another. Let's say you notice that I'm copping a bad attitude about my family. I'm talking badly about Debbie. How could that ever happen? I've got to be in the wrong if I'm doing that. I'm talking down my daughters and my son, and I'm really talking badly about my sister-in-law. Yeah. And you're noticing this, and you're seeing that it's starting to affect me. It's affecting those around me majorly. I'm constantly losing my cool. I'm raging at people. Now what do you do? What do you do about this? Well, if you're not a member, you might say, I don't want to be in the same church with this guy. I'm just going to go down the road, go down the block, find a church where, you know, I can be a little more anonymous. I don't have to rub shoulders with this guy. And there's your answer. But if there's an understanding, if there's a commitment that we're a family and that I'm your brother in Christ, and you can see, I'm hurting. Something's wrong with me. Watch it, Mary. We're on the same team. Then I'm accountable to you. And you're going to try to help me. You're going to pray for me. Look at what Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says. Dear brothers and sisters, this is in the context of a local church. If another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. The law of Christ is love one another as you love yourselves, as I loved you. Now, who's the each other here in this passage? Well, in context, it's the local church. That's what he's talking about here. Notice carefully that we have a duty to believers who go astray or get caught up in wrongdoing. You need to do it gently, not harshly. With me, don't be harsh, please. You need to be humble, not judgmental, and seek to restore me. And notice here in that text that we're to share each other's burdens. I have a burden. I may not even realize it. I may think it's somebody else's fault. I think it's Mary's fault. But I have a burden, and you guys, you need to help me. There's an accountability that assumes mutual commitment to one another. Now, this is not going to happen among church hoppers or people that say, well, you know, it's not really my problem. Well, in the church, we bear one another's burdens. Let's look at the fourth reason for church membership, and that is leadership. Christianity is a team sport. This is not solitaire, folks. This is not tennis, where it's you against the devil, right? All on your own. No, it requires a team to play this game. The Lord is the team owner. He's the ultimate authority, no question about that. But the owner puts managers and coaches and team captains in place, and he expects the team to follow their lead. Imagine a baseball team without a manager or coaches or a team captain. Now, some Christians will say, well, look, I don't follow any man. I follow Jesus Christ. As Christ followers, you know, that's what I'm all about. I'm about following Jesus. I don't need some man-made authority over me. Now, that really sounds spiritual, doesn't it? Really? There's just one problem with it. That is not Christianity as found in the New Testament. Folks, we're not free to just make up this religion as we go along, you know, kind of build to suit sort of thing. That's not the way it works. If you're a Christ follower, you follow Christ and you follow the book, all right? This is about following his book. And throughout Scripture, God always raised up leaders and expected his people to follow their lead. Moses, Joshua, King David, Samuel, many, many others in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you got Peter, you got Paul, you got the apostles, you got the elders of the churches. I want you to look at this statement. It's an astounding statement in Exodus chapter 14, verse 31. It says, "The people of Israel put their faith in the Lord." That's cool. We got that. Put their faith in the Lord. "And in his servant Moses." Trusting in the Lord meant following his appointed leader. It's God's chain of command. You say, "Yeah, but that was Moses. I mean, you know, Moses. Who wouldn't follow Moses?" Well, there were a lot of people that didn't, and they got in trouble. But let's look at a different example. How about in the New Testament? The Apostle Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ." You say, "Yeah, but that's Paul." Come on, man. The Apostle Paul? All right. Well, how about your everyday, run-of-the-mill, garden variety, far from perfect, local church leader, Mr. Nobody like Randy Ream or somebody like that? How about him? How about them? Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. "Obey your spiritual leaders." In context, he's talking about the elders of the church. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Help me. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Now, keep this one up there too. Look carefully at this text. This is the word of the Lord, folks. This is in the book. All right? There's a chain of command here. Church folks are accountable to their church leaders, and the leaders are accountable to God. Church hopper can't obey this command. Not in the position to. You can only obey this command if you've joined the team. You've said, "Okay, I'm putting myself under you guys. I'm on the team." Let's say you're the pastor, all right, and I'm the non-member attendee, all right? Let's do a little role reversal here. So you say to me, "Randy, such and such is my counsel to you. This is what Scripture teaches. This is what you need. I'm telling you this because I love you, I care about you, this is what you need to do." But I say to you, "Well, who put you in charge of me? Where is it written that I'm under your authority? I mean, I never said that I need to listen to you. I mean, I'm not officially connected here in any way, shape, manner, or form. I just go down the block and get some counsel that I like, telling me how to talk to my sister-in-law, something like that. I mean, come on. That's meddling with me. I can just go down the street to another church. I can just sit in a big church where I'm kind of anonymous. And there's no meddling with me, all right? I'm just kind of on my own, and I've got freedom to come and go as I please." Now, maybe you think, "Hey, that sounds good. That's fine for me. That's what I want. No human authority over me. I can come and go as I please." Okay? It's your privilege. It's your choice. Do as you choose. But I'm going to still minister to you if you're in that boat and you have that way. I'm going to try to love you as Christ loved the church. But I say to you, don't call that Christianity as described in the New Testament. That's not it. The New Testament church is a committed group of people who are accountable to one another and to their spiritual leaders. So if that's what you want, then that's how you get it. Now, of course, church leaders must be godly people of Christ-like integrity. That's, of course, really important. And There's been failure. I mean, there are many examples where we can point to failure in that kind of thing in churches that we know about and have heard about. Leaders need to be men and women of integrity, faithful to the Word of God, fulfilling the scriptural qualifications. That's huge. Huge. And no human leader is going to be perfect at it. And yet, the owner of the team has designed the team to be led by imperfect humans, where you can see flaws, all right, just like all of us have them. And so what do? We need to pick the best available team and sign up. I am grateful to serve with the other elders on our Stony Creek Church board, truly godly men of integrity worth following. And I'm up here all represented. All the elders are up here represented. Here you get this. It never works when it's supposed to, all right? Well, you can see, we got in the middle there. This should work now of all times. All right, it's not going to cooperate for me. But in the middle there, you see our architect. He's not one of our leaders. This is the picture I had, okay? I had to work with it. Mike Thompson and Chuck Binkowski, who's not on our elder board right now. He's our building project manager. He's been on the elder board, and I hope he will be again someday. And he's sitting right there, great guy. He's just not on our board. But you've got Bob Hanvey. You got me. You got Jeremy Mangus. And you've got Corey McCluskey over to the left, and you got Andy Barba. These are the guys on our elder board. And I tell you, I submit to their authority in my life gladly because they are godly men. And we also have up there represented our staff. These are the people that I work with on the daily basis. Chris Bordeaux and Ken Leslie and Jody Slongo and Rick Horn. These are the God-given leaders here at Stony Creek Church. None of us is perfect, except maybe Chris. We are the team that God has given to this church. Let's look at the fifth reason for church membership. Number five on your outline there, and that is serving. Serving. Church membership is not passive. It's active. If we compare the local church to a baseball team, let's say our Utica Unicorns, all right, play over at Jimmy John's Field, then serving is like playing your position on the team. Maybe it's shortstop or third base or fielder or catcher or pitcher, or maybe you're one of the coaches. You don't just join a team to watch, right? That's what the spectators do. When you join the team, you're saying, sign me up because I want to play on the team. What's your position on the team? Scripture teaches that God equips each church, each team, with the gifted people it needs to do the work he calls them to do. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Who's the each other here? Well, in context, folks, it's the members of the local body. It's not talking here about your next door neighbor who doesn't go to church. Now, of course, that's important too. But here, what he's talking about, the each other here is the church. Each person in the church is given a gift to help the whole team win. Let's look at another text, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Help me out on this one. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Who's the one another? Yeah, it's us. It's here in the local church. That's the context of this statement. The job of the team members is to serve the other team members as we serve the Lord to win. The job of the team coaches is to organize these gifted people in such a way that effective ministry happens. The good news is shared. The Bible is taught on the level of the children, the youth, the adults, that we are led in praise and worship each Sunday, that the building is clean, that the building is maintained, that the needy are cared for, that hurting people can find prayer and find godly counsel, and so forth and so on, all the different things that go on here every week, every day of the week at Stony Creek Church. Now, all of that takes leadership, folks. It takes organization. And it takes a team roster. People are saying, you can count on me. I'm not just a spectator. I'm here to serve. The team roster is what we call church membership. It's where a Christ follower says, I want to join the team. I want to be on board. I want to have a position. Count on me. Each church is going to handle membership as best they know how. Some are a little more formal, others are a little more informal on that. Here at Stony Creek Church, when people want to join the church, we say, okay, we're going to put you through this little course. And we call it Exploring the Creek, Exploring Stony Creek Church. And in this course, we explain our beliefs, what, you know, the basic beliefs of Christianity. We go through them. We talk about where this church is going, what our vision, our mission is. And that involves, as you see up on the screen, and it's always on the back of your program, what we call our four C's, and of course our mission. Our mission is to make more and better followers of Jesus in our community and beyond, and then at the bottom, so that God is glorified. And how do we do this? We do this through our four C's, where people come to Christ, that's the first step, then connect with Christian living. Remember we talked about connect, and then commit to the church, that's church membership, and then learn to coach others. That's our basic approach here at Stony Creek Church. And we explain in this course how all of this unfolds and why we do what we do, who the leaders are, and how each person can find his or her position on the team. And after going through all this, if a person says, okay, yeah, that's for me, I want to become a member, then we hand them a membership application. They fill out this application, and they submit it to the staff and the elder board. And this eventuates in an interview with an elder, the person, or if it's a couple, they sit down with one of the elders. And we want to make sure that each candidate has a chance to personally interact with leadership. We want to make sure that you understand what it is you're getting into. What it is that you're committing to, what you're joining. We want to make sure that you understand the central message of the team, that Jesus is Lord, that he died for your sins and rose from the dead. We want to make sure that you have personally entrusted yourself to Jesus Christ as your Lord. We want to hear how you came to know the Lord, to trust in him as your Savior. We want to make sure that you've been baptized, and that you understand what it's about. We want to make sure that you have a position to play on the team, a ministry in which to serve. Remember, everybody has one. Everybody has a gift. Everyone has a place. We want to make sure that you know your position and can play that position. We want to answer any questions that you have and see if there are any special needs. And so when you get through that interview and you pass, we shine a bright light in your face in a dark room and give you the third degree and waterboard if necessary. No, 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 no. None of that. None of that. None of that. Very casual, very good experience. But once you get through all of that, that was your worst fear, wasn't it? You're thinking, oh, you know, and I just exacerbated it. It's all wrapped up in our main idea. The one thing you need to remember if you forget everything else that I've said, and it goes like this. Committing to a local church is saying, I do to Christ's body. Christ's bride. Christ's bride. I misread that. Well, it's the same thing. Body and bride. Committing is saying, I do to the bride of Christ. It's a commitment. It's joining a team. It is accountability. It's connection. It's suiting up and saying, count me in. I'm in. It's what the early Christians did in New Testament times. And if you would like to join the team, we'd love to have you on board. Just sign up to take the Exploring the Creek class. Take out your connection card right on there. I'm interested in taking the Explore class. And since we've already had the offering, just please take it up to the info booth. Our next class is in October, so it's a little while away. And we can remind you when that time comes if you sign up. It'll be announced and everything, but it'll be on Sunday, October 15th. That's what we're looking at now at 9:30 a.m. here at the church. So sign up and bring it to the information booth if you're interested in taking that course. Now today is the grand finale of the message. We have three new additions to the Stony Creek membership roster. Isn't that cool? Yay! Yes, indeed. So why don't you guys come on up? We got some stuff to give you. And we want to welcome you. Come on up. It's Kent and Amy Hockenberry. Kent and Amy Hockenberry. And who's this guy? Have I seen you somewhere before? This is my son. This is John E. Ream. He is the first of my group, my kids. I can call him a kid. I have that privilege to join our church, and I am so proud. I am so proud to have that today. So come on up. We got really cool stuff for you here. You get one for free when you become a member. We are not above a little bribery here at Stony Creek Church, all right? First, I got the membership certificates. It says, I, in this case, Amy Hockenberry, endorse wholeheartedly and unreservedly the statement of beliefs of Stony Creek Church. I affirm my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ to nurture my relationship with Him through consistent prayer, worship, and Bible study. I commit myself to the mission and vision of Stony Creek Church and pledge my cooperation to the elders and to all those God has called in to positions of leadership. I commit my time, talents, and treasures to God to be used for His glory in the building up of this church and the advance of His kingdom and our community in the world. So that's what it says. And let me hand out these certificates to you because they've both signed it. Johnny's is in, okay. John's. It was in the envelope. Okay, it's still in the envelope. I thought maybe he was going to bail out here at the last minute, but he's not. Let me tell you that all three of them are joining our youth ministry to be leaders and mentors in there. So, Kent.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Welcome to the team. And you too, buddy. Welcome to the team. Very, very glad. And oh, did I forget? The Contigo mug, all right? Yes, indeed. And you can get yours by buying one back there for $25 or becoming a member if you haven't already become one, all right? Okay. Thank you. Why don't we all stand? Please stand, and we're going to have a closing prayer, and then we're going to dismiss our service. And why don't you guys come on together here, and I'm just going to have a prayer over you. If you guys would like to extend your hand as a symbol of blessing, come on. I put on my deodorant today. All right. Father in heaven, I thank you for these three, for Kent and Amy and John, and they're joining here at Stony Creek Church. I thank you for their commitment. I thank you that they know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, that they've entrusted their lives to Him. and that you've redeemed them. I thank you that they're officially casting their lot with us and joining this church, and I pray your rich blessing on them. And I pray that they would understand that they're not just committing to us, but we're committing to them, that they're part of the family, they're on the roster, and we care about them, Lord, and care for them. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things in Jesus' name, your blessing upon them and their service and this church as a whole. Amen.